I want to pick up where we left off last week. We were discussing what happiness looks like according to Jesus and using the Beatitudes as our guide. I would like to briefly cover the last five Beatitudes and then connect them to today's text. Those who hunger and thirst. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The hungry. These people seek justice and holiness, and most importantly, God, who will fill them with joy in His presence. I want you to take note here, they seek what is just and holy and of God. Now don't confuse this in any way with fairness. Sometimes what is right before God can seem unfair to us and unfair to the world. Now we struggle with this. We struggle with this, and we do believe in fairness, don't get me wrong. But sometimes, God's word must take precedence over even what we deem to be fair. Because we have to remember that we are thinking as humans. We are not thinking like God. We do not see the whole picture. We do not understand the beginning and the end as God does. God knows far more than us. So many times I will hear people say, you know, that part of God's word just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair to everyone. What I will say to you is, do not judge on fairness. Judge on who God is. Because God is holy. God is love. And believe me, God will make the difference in your life. We look next to the merciful, the helpers. For Christians, mercy is a spirit-led ability to manifest practical, compassionate, and cheerful love toward those suffering. The merciful will obtain mercy and find true happiness in being merciful to others. As Christians, loving, showing compassion, helping others should be a joyful experience. If it does not bring happiness to you, then your heart and your motives are wrong. No matter how rough and tough you once were, or you think you still are, the moment you came to Christ, compassion from the Holy Spirit started to grow within you. The moment you came to Christ, compassion started to grow in you. Even if before that you felt like you were a person that just wasn't compassionate at all. I have people tell me that today, even as a Christian, I really don't feel that whole compassion thing very much. I have more time on this one. That type of person. Listen to me carefully. There are going to be some who are more compassionate because it's natural to them. But if you know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit reigns in you, your compassion is going to grow every day you walk with Him. You might be a strong and tough person that thought you would never dream of crying about anything. Jesus Christ will bring you to the point in your life when somebody walks by you who's hurting, who's hungry, tears will come into your eyes than ever would before. When you are a Christian, compassion is necessary. And it is natural. And the whole point of growing in your Christian life is that you become more and more and more compassionate. And the goal is, someday, you'll be like Jesus. Someday, compassion will be the most natural thing in the world to you. But as Christians, don't ever say that you are not compassionate. The next one goes with being merciful. It is the pure in heart. It is what we call the holy. These people have guiltless motives. holy thoughts, of a clean conscience. In Scripture, those who are most holy are those who are most joyful. We must strive to be holy, always checking our motives and thoughts, because true happiness comes with a close walk with the Lord. How do we achieve that close walk with the Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are two things that are very important today that you'll hear in this message about that. And you hear me talk about it many times. It takes confession to draw close to God. It takes real and true confession to draw close to God. We've done this song here before downstairs, and maybe some of you weren't here, but one really that I really am drawn to is, "Here's My Heart, Lord." And the artist says, what he does is he sits before God and he simply says, "Here's my heart, Lord. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what I need to change. Tell me what's not right about my heart. And then change it." Confession before God is necessary. It's necessary if you want to be close to God and close to holiness. The other thing that we will talk about later is the psalm will say, "Here I am, Lord." You can't say that until you confess. You can't tell God you're ready until you're willing to draw close. Let us move to the peacemakers. They are the healers. The word translated peacemakers comes from a verb meaning to join together. It pictures two opposing forces that are now being reconciled. Peacemakers experience joy and excitement as they help others reconcile with God and with one another. The unsaved world is at odds with God. God's people sometimes are at odds with one another. What are we doing to reconcile people with God? You and I know the way to peace with God. You and I know the secret to peace with God. We understand that peace with God is believing in Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity to come to God. He creates that place for us through His blood that covers us, that we can have peace with God and we can draw close to God. We know that as Christian people. But there are people in the world that we come in contact with every day who do not understand that. They do not have peace with God, and they need to be reconciled to God, and you have the ability to show them the way how they can be reconciled to God. You know the way. You know this great secret that so many people need. Let me also say, you know, as Christians, that you are to be reconciled to one another. I know there are times that you may get upset with one another. I know there are times whenever you might feel distance between you and another Christian, something you don't agree with. But God calls you to reconcile in the person of Jesus Christ. He calls you to be a reconciled people. And that will bring you joy. That will bring you joy. Try it. Bring somebody to Christ. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Tell them about their need for a Savior. And I guarantee you, somewhere in your heart, there will be joy. Those who are persecuted because of righteousness, the harassed. Persecution is suffering wrongfully, being punished for being righteous. Although suffering is never fun, those who remain faithful through it are blessed to be identified with Christ. If you stand up for Jesus, you will surely face persecution. If we go through our entire Christian lives without ever facing persecution, then we miss gets the happiness, the blessing of being identified with Jesus. I've asked this, these questions before, but I ask them again. Do people know that you are a Christian? Do people know that you are a Christian? Because once they know that, there's going to be some persecution because of that. The world can be cruel. That's not to stop us from letting people know who we are. If you let people know that you're a Christian, you will face persecution. It may be very slight. They may not sit with you at the lunch table anymore. They may not joke around with you anymore like they once did. Or it may be a little harsher than that. It's hard to tell. But let me ask you, if you were charged with the crime of Christianity, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were charged with the crime of Christianity, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If a full investigation was done of your life, a full investigation to see that they can find you guilty of knowing Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus Christ and proclaiming Jesus Christ, would they find anything? And would they find enough to convict you of knowing Him? There is joy. There is joy in persecution for your sake. Now, you're probably asking, how does all this fit together? I hope that we can make sense of it. I want you to listen to verse 13. It says, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. As I was preparing and reading the scripture, a memory flashed through my mind of a commercial a long time ago. Most of you will probably remember it. An older woman opens up her hamburger and says, "Where's the beef?" And the joke always goes, "It's under the pickle." Today I ask you, the church, where's the salt? Where's the salt in your life? Where's the salt in this congregation? Where's the salt in Christians of this nation? Where's the salt? Where are those who are living out the Beatitudes and happy in the Lord? If you are living out the Beatitudes, you will be very salty, because you will be very different. If you are living out the Beatitudes that Christ taught, you will be so different in the world that you will be just like a great big spoon of salt. When you're there, they will know there's something different going on. When you're there, they will feel the presence of God there. When you are there living out these Beatitudes and acting in these ways, people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know what salt does? Salt heals. How many of you are helping to heal people? Through your words, and your actions, and your ministry? How many of you are reaching out as a healing salt to those around you with words of comfort from your Lord and Savior? Salt cures. You know, in the old days they used salt, that's all they had. They didn't have refrigeration. They just covered things with salt to keep it. It's the only way they could keep it. But salt keeps things right. It keeps things good in the world. The salt of this world is the only thing that's holding it together. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And the other thing I want you to know this morning, friends, and this is what might cause persecution in your life. Salt stains. You can't be afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ because it's unstable. You can't be afraid to be a Christian in the world in front of people because it stings. And I say it stings like this because it goes directly against everything that the world has taught and everything that the world knows. And when you go directly against the world, it's going to cause some conflict and it's going to sting a little bit. But you're going to sting in a loving way because you're going to do it all in love for Christ. If we're going to be salt, we know that's going to take place. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In this dark and dreary world, where's the light? How will people find their way? Where is the light? Why are we not shining? Why are we not completely aglow with the light of Christ? You see, we all know that in order to turn on the lights, we must find a switch. I wish that there was a physical switch that I could turn on within myself and within you to turn the light on. I wish there was a physical switch that I could just throw and you would glow with the light of Jesus Christ. I wish there was a physical switch. It would be so much easier. It would be so much easier. But there is not a physical switch. There is not a physical switch. The truth is, only God can make us shine and return us to the saltiness that we must have. But you see, He does that when we, the church, stop agreeing with the world and its views and embrace the difference of living fully for Christ. God will do that if we will do our part. Friends, where's the salt and where's the light? Why should the world look to us? What reasons do we give them? Are we different? Do we offer them anything that is not the same as what they could have anywhere else in this world? We must bring ourselves to that point by doing two things. Saying, here's my heart, Lord. Change me. And then saying, here I am, Lord. I will do